Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Welcome to DW's Africa Link program this Wednesday, the 20th of September 2017. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I am Abubakar Jallo. Glad you could join us.
Coming up on the program, Kenya's Supreme Court has placed the blame for last month's annulled presidential vote firmly on the Election Commission. Opposition supporters were outside the court to celebrate victory.
The court made the good decision. Actually, that's what the Kenyans expected.
We are supporters of NASA. We are not here to destroy anybody's property. We are just here to celebrate justice. And what we are saying that we are the movement of change.
And in an exclusive interview with DW, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has warned that military intervention is not the solution to the conflict with North Korea and reiterated that it is. The crisis must be resolved peacefully.
I am against threats of this kind. And speaking for myself and the government, I must say that we consider any type of military solution absolutely inappropriate.
Well, these are some of the stories that we've lined up for you coming shortly. But before all that, let's listen to what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. German Chancellor Angela Merkel spoke exclusively with DW on Wednesday, saying that military action against North Korea is absolutely inappropriate and that the German government clearly disagrees with U.S. President Donald Trump's rhetoric after he mocked leader Kim Jong-un as a rocket man and threatened to totally destroy North Korea. Merkel stressed that diplomatic efforts must be used to curb Pyongyang's nuclear ambitions.
I am against threats of this kind. And speaking for myself and the government, I must say that we consider any type of military solution absolutely inappropriate. And we are counting on diplomatic efforts. This must be vigorously implemented. In my opinion, sanctions and enforcing these sanctions are the right answer. But anything else with regard to North Korea, I think, is wrong. And that is why we clearly disagree with the U.S. president.
51 nations have agreed to sign a new treaty outlawing nuclear weapons. None of the 9 countries that possess nuclear weapons, however, took part in the negotiations. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who opened the signing ceremony in New York, hailed the multilateral disarmament treaty as a milestone.
I congratulate all states that negotiated the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons, and I salute your commitment to the cause of nuclear disarmament and to our planet's safety and security.
Kenya's Supreme Court has delivered its full statement as to why it nullified President Uhuru Kenyatta's August 8th election win, telling reporters that it largely agreed with claims by opposition leader Raila Odinga that the Electoral Commission's computer servers had been interfered with. The statement came as protesters marched outside the court, with some shouting slogans and hurling insults against judiciary members. Kenya's constitution says a new election must be held within 60 days of the annulment. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto has declared a state of disaster after a 7.1 magnitude earthquake killed more than 200 people and toppled dozens of buildings in the capital, Mexico City. Nieto has dispatched emergency personnel to rescue those trapped under collapsed buildings, but warned that the death toll is likely to rise. Tuesday's earthquake happened nearly 2 weeks after a quake struck off the country's southwestern coast, killing at least 90 people. Heavy rains caused landslides and major flooding in eastern Congo, killing at least 12 people and displacing more than 90. An official from the North Kivu province said more than 100 homes were destroyed in the flooding. Emergency crews have been sent to affected areas to find and rescue the missing. And now in sports, Bundesliga football team Bayern Munich continued their winning ways last night, blanking Schalke with a final score of 3-0. Mönchengladbach beat Stuttgart 2-0, and Augsburg followed, winning against Leipzig 1-0. Wolfsburg and Werder Bremen tied 1-1. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
If you are just joining us, welcome back to Africa Link. I'm Abubakar Jallo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. We begin today's program in Kenya, where the Supreme Court has placed the blame for last month's annulled presidential vote firmly on the Electoral Commission. That was in its full ruling detailing the judge's decision. One of the judges said the conduct of the Independent Elections and Boundaries Commission was quite disturbing, if not startling. The judges said the Electoral Commission failed to verify the numbers before declaring President Uhuru Kenyatta winner of the August 8 polls. From Nairobi, Andrew Asike sent this report.
Despite threats and intimidation on the judiciary, judges of the Supreme Court, led by Kenya's Chief Judge David Maraga, today read out the full verdict as to why they voted to annul President Uhuru Kenyatta's second-term win. Justice Isaac Lenaola noted that the Electoral Commission flouted the law and the Constitution to the extent that they become the law themselves, noting that elections are not just an event, but a whole process.
We dismiss the petitioner's submissions that the court should reconsider the now established legal principle as discussed in the judgment that elections are a true reflection of the will of the people of Kenya. Such an election must be one that meets the constitutional standards. An election such as the one at hand has to be therefore both quantitatively and qualitatively in accordance with the Constitution.
Among the main reasons given by the other judges include irregularities and illegalities during the tallying, recording and transmission of the election results. Outside the Supreme Court, hundreds of opposition supporters were gathered to celebrate the court's ruling. Police barred them from accessing the area directly opposite the Supreme Court, but this did not stop the crowds from growing in number.
We came here today to witness the ruling of the Supreme Court, in which the presidential election was void and nullified. The court made the good decision. Actually, that's what the Kenyans expected. As you see from behind, these are the NASA supporters who are waiting to witness the revolution.
We are supporters of NASA. We are not here to destroy anybody's property. We are just here to celebrate justice. And what we are saying that we are the movement of change. You see, the verdict was made 2 weeks ago, and we have had insults, we have had intimidation. The judiciary has been intimidated. In 2013, the same thing happened, but we still accepted and move on.
As the judges continued to read their detailed judgment, supporters of both opposition and the ruling party were forced to run for their lives after a swarm of bees descended on them. One person who was critically injured after being stung by the bees was rushed to the hospital. There's no clear explanation as to what triggered the bee attack.
Andrew Wasike reporting from Nairobi. Abu, the bees came into the mix of the whole chaos outside court.
I don't really know what to say about that interference there.
And we have quite some comments here, which of course you can't avoid, you know, to read. Muganda Clay says, some Kenyans are hurting over the Supreme Court ruling. They are criticizing, finding fault with Deputy Chief Justice Mwilu's voice, hair, nails and lipstick, etc.
And the response from Ayolo, he says, I'm hearing and seeing this argument that the Supreme Court should have ordered a recount, but nobody in their submissions asked for one.
Mm-hmm. There we go again. Ehoza Godwin, our regular contributor, says, I strongly believe the Supreme Court is right. Again, if President Uhuru Kenyatta wants to claim he won through the proper channels and procedures, then this re-election shouldn't worry him and his supporters.
And Francis Gakanja says, these politics are taking toll in Kenyan economy and businesses. And reporter, imagine how judges met with petitioners. Damn. Anyways, we will definitely bring some of these stories more, especially on that bee attack later in the show. Still on Kenya, the Supreme Court's ruling has placed Kenyans on a path that may see the country politically divided on party lines. But the ruling Jubilee Coalition and the opposition NASA Coalition have also stood their ground. How much impact will this have on Kenya's future? Mm-hmm. It's a question I put to Jan Sanishki, Country Director for the Konrad Adenauer Foundation in Kenya.
It can be a huge impact on Kenya's future. That depends largely on the outcome of the elections that should take place on the 17th of October. We're not sure if they will really take place then. And if they run well, then there might be a huge step in order to improve rule of law and real independence of courts. Because there were obviously formal issues with the elections, and if there are formal issues, it's only correct that elections are annulled and taken again. And if all the process runs well, we don't know that yet, but we hope that, then I think we have a next step in Kenya's rule of law and a huge signal for all African countries that this is possible.
The decision is definitely unprecedented. It's the first time in the entire Africa for such thing to happen. But does it also have some sort of negative impact in terms of uniting the country and not creating this sort of divide, whereas the NASA supporters will stick to their party and at the same time Jubilee supporters will also stick to their party, and in the end it's just going to be fighting?
We can't know that yet. In any case, I don't see that the court's decision would make the divisions you see in Kenya worse than they were before, because we always had a really highly divided society here, and especially among elections this becomes worse. I think the divisions won't be heavier than they were during the last elections, so the court's decision should not have any impact here.
The judges have also claiming that judicial staffs have also received death threats and that sort of thing. Do you think this should be the way forward for Kenya?
That is speculation. As I said before, there were tensions before. We will have, of course, tensions after the court's declaration and also after the next election. I don't think that the Constitutional Court now interfered will have a big impact on that. We'll have definitely tensions, but we would have had them in any case.
Jan Sanishki, Country Director for the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, speaking from Nairobi.
Now, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel has said that she is prepared to act as a mediator as tensions escalate between North Korea and the United States that has threatened to strike and bring an end to Kim Jong-un's administration if he doesn't stop his missile program. Chancellor Merkel said that, like in the past, her country has played a role in striking out agreements with countries like Iran, Iran's nuclear disarmament, which helped to de-escalate the situation that was getting out of hand. Jack Davies has more.
In an interview with Deutsche Welle, Chancellor Merkel stressed that the conflict with North Korea must be resolved peacefully. She told Deutsche Welle that Germany could be in a position to mediate in the conflict. Merkel was highly critical of US President Donald Trump at the UN General Assembly when he threatened to totally destroy North Korea.
I am against threats of this kind. And speaking for myself and the government, I must say that we consider any type of military solution absolutely inappropriate. And we are counting on diplomatic efforts. This must be vigorously implemented. In my opinion, sanctions and enforcing these sanctions are the right answer. But anything else with regard to North Korea, I think, is wrong. And that is why we clearly disagree with the US president.
Merkel also confirmed her willingness to assist in resolving the conflict. With the former East Germany's communist legacy, the fact that the two countries still have diplomatic relations, and Berlin's strong ties to China, Japan, South Korea and the US, Merkel said Germany is one of the few countries in a position to assist in resolving the crisis.
Even if this conflict is far away from Germany, it is one that also affects us. That is why I am prepared, as is the foreign minister, to assume responsibility here. We took part in negotiating the Iran agreement, which I think is good, and better than having no agreement at all. It took many years, but in the end it did limit Iran's possibilities for nuclear armament. And I think we must take the same path, or a similar one, with Russia, with China, together with the US, also in the case of North Korea.
When asked if she would consider reaching out to North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, the Chancellor responded that that was not on the agenda, adding that she was not going to undertake any measures that are not already agreed on.
Jake Davis with that report. And we are monitoring the situation as, you know, it evolves in North Korea with all the political rhetoric and tensions. Abu, something that caught, you know, my eyes and ears is that the Chancellor, you know, wants to extend an olive branch, you know, to North Korea.
This saber rattling between Trump and Kim Jong-un is not going to take the rest of the world anywhere.
Exactly. You know, his comments yesterday, many people have been commenting about it. And we welcome you to visit our Facebook page, DW Africa. Send those comments there. He called the North Korean leader the Rocket Man. Anyway, tell us what you think.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to DW Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. Coming up in the next 15 minutes. Gorillas in the mist. Rwandan authorities announced plans of protecting mountain gorillas whose natural habitat has been encroached on by locals. And one solution is eviction.
I have no issues with them buying my land, but I would wish for the transaction to be done swiftly because there are always problems when it comes to being bought by the government.
We have that story plus all of your responses on our DW page, on our page DW Africa. But first, the Ugandan military has deployed around parliament and in the city centre on a state of alert following tomorrow's motion to move a bill on the removal of the presidential age limit. Last week, a group of lawmakers affiliated to the ruling National Resistance Movement, NRM, passed a resolution calling for the amendment to Article 102B that will see President Yoweri Museveni eligible to stand again in 2021. This standoff has not only led to physical fights between MPs, but has also caused fears among civilians. Frank Iga reports from Kampala.
Patrolling around the parliamentary building are heavily armed soldiers waiting to disperse any protest. The situation is tense and unusual ahead of Thursday's political standoff between parliamentarians in favour and against removing the presidential age limit. I asked Kamosime Innocent Pentagon, MP for Butemba County, if he was worried about the heavy security presence outside parliament.
We need security because under such contentious hot debates, national issues, the environment might change and turn chaotic and people fight. It is important that the security forces keep security. But also, on the other hand, I think they should have limits on where to go and where not to go. I have personally witnessed people in plain clothes having guns. They have pistols.
In the busy downtown area of Kampala, military personnel have positioned themselves in key locations where violence may flare up. Police armored anti-riot trucks are also stationed at major junctions. Businessman Amoti Kevin tells me that such deployment is necessary because of the current political tension.
Without this deployment, people are going to be disturbing others doing business. So when we are safe to do business, it is okay. Because you know the tension that is in the country. So if this will guard hooligans from disturbing us, then so it be, let them guard us very well and we do our usual business.
But Stella Okirol, a food vendor in downtown Kampala, says that seeing soldiers in the city worries her and their presence affects her business.
If it continues like this, I tell you, next week, I don't know. I'm making losses only and I don't know whether I will be able even to send my children to school. School started on Monday. Imagine up to now, I don't have anything on me.
Uganda police spokesperson Asan Kasinje say that this deployment is to ensure law and order is restored in the country.
Enough intelligence about threats against members of parliament in anticipation of the debate on the removal of age limit. Even yesterday you saw how they were fighting in the parliament and how people were planning to go and attack them in the parliament. So that deployment is in ensuring that there is peace, there is law and order in the city.
That report was compiled by Frank Iga in Kampala, and this is a story that we are definitely following on our next edition tomorrow. Stay tuned.
On the spot.
To Ghana now, where film producers are up in arms against movies from Latin America or telenovelas, which have taken over the media and entertainment industry in Ghana by storm. The local film producers said the influx of these movies is collapsing their business and must be banned. But as our own Isaac Kalechi reports from Accra, patrons of these movies say they can only abandon them when they get equally captivating and quality productions from local producers.
Scene from a popular television drama series, Maria, airing on free-to-air TV station in Ghana. It's the favorite of many Ghanaians as they gather around their TV sets every evening to watch the TV series. It's telenovela, and it's from Latin America. They are not only adopted into English language, but the local dialect is also an option now for viewers.
No, Maria.
These movies have replaced the usual local productions, and that doesn't excite film producers who have begun agitating for some time now. Scores of the film producers have been staging protests in Ghana to draw attention to the issue and call for an action. They argue that the film industry in Ghana is collapsing due to the influx of telenovelas and want the trend reversed. Eugene Murat is a spokesperson for the Film Producers Association.
In every developing country, content being shown on TV should be about 70 to 80% local, and then the foreign should be given that 20%. What we are witnessing in Ghana here is that most of the television stations are taking over the telenovelas. Foreign content is much bigger than the local one. And with that, you devalue our film industry, and then you don't create employment.
George Kwee is a film producer and an actor. He doesn't have an issue with telenovelas on Ghanaian screens, but explains what the major problem is with such foreign productions.
I think there's nothing wrong with telenovelas on our screens. However, my problem is the time when they are shown. I don't think we should give primetime television to foreign content. I think primetime should solely remain a preserve of local content. And I think that is where the complaint is coming from.
These movies touch on relationship issues many viewers associate with and love much. Some lovers of telenovelas say they can only switch their love back to local productions if there is enough quality content.
Sometimes when you're watching the local movies and then you see the translation in the other stars, the kind of English they write, very, very bad. They should take their time, produce quality content for us, and that is what will give them money.
They are rather not selling to the public a best content, a good content. So if it's good, people will definitely patronize. But if it's not, they'll resort to finding other alternatives. That's a telenovela.
Kwee says the quality content will only come if broadcasters are willing to pay for that. For now, it is about local film producers producing better content that is appealing to local audiences. But until then, telenovelas like in other African countries will continue to rule.
Well, Isaac Kelechi with that report. Abu, telenovelas are taking Africa by storm. Of course, there are some scenes.
And so are the responses that are coming in. We have
go ahead.
Kwabina Anim, who says, support Ghanaian businesses, including Ibrahim Mahama and Ghana film industry, instead of Kum Kum Bagia and the Chinese film industry.
And Kwasi Ocheregaba from Ghana says, almost all the TV stations in Ghana are now gradually kicking out their local productions by introducing these telenovelas dubbed in our local language through their dubious acts. Oh, anyway, keep on those comments coming.
Anthony Awa, some writing from Douala in Cameroon. He says, in as much as Ghanaian African film actors and producers have a case here, telenovelas offer important source to inspire creativity and competitiveness. If you look at it from this angle, I bet we will set up our game and recognition.
And Abu, there's this interesting comment coming from Kenneth in Accra. He says, Ghana says, well, the producers should beef up their game, but the media corporation here should regulate the number of TV stations showing these films. Well, it's all about also timing. And, you know, we had in that report someone saying the time when they're shown is crucial. Local productions also should be given a chance.
Yeah, and the one there from Oluretimi from Lagos, he says, no, they don't have a case. While I abhor telenovelas, poor local production is even more annoying.
Tell us what you think about telenovelas and the collapse, like our people say there in Ghana, of the local productions. Just visit our Facebook page, DW Africa, and we always come back to this interesting topic whenever we can.
Living Planet Africa.
Now to Rwanda. Tourism remains one of the largest and fastest growing sectors in the world, in the world's economy. To reap more from this sector, Rwanda is working on a plan that will see locals living around the Volcanoes National Park, which is home to the rare mountain gorillas, vacate their land in a bid to expand the territories of these gorillas. The plan has attracted mixed feelings. This report by Nasra Bishumba is now read by Crispin Mwakidil.
The sounds of gorillas in the Volcanoes National Park as they feed on plants and bamboo shoots, their favorite plant. Here, they live in families with a single dominant male silverback as the head, often fighting off other male gorillas that may want to take over its females or searching for mating rights. But in recent days, the gorilla population on the Rwandan side has increased by 27%, thanks to the government's conservation efforts to protect these rare and endangered species. Despite these efforts, the habitat has shrunk due to human encroachment. And to remedy this, the government says that it plans to buy or to lease land from the locals around the park in order to increase on the size of the gorilla habitat, as explained by Eugene Mutangana, the head of the conservation at the Rwanda Development Board.
When we talk of that park expansion, what people think is buying of people, of course, to displace. We can have an approach where the communities can still have ownership, can still have the rights of their land, but of course signing with them a conservation easement, restrictions on what they would be doing on that land, however, paying equal or even beyond what they've been earning on an annual basis with what they initially have been practicing on their land. It's a project that we are embarking on, that we want to carefully do without harming the community, that can benefit both conservation and improve the livelihoods of people.
Olivier Nsengimana is a former veterinarian with Gorilla Doctors, a non-profit organization that provides medical care and rescue of orphaned lowland gorillas, explains why the initiative worries many locals.
I think the initiative of expanding the park is a really great initiative, effective conservation measures, and can benefit mountain gorillas, but also people who are living nearby its habitat. So, of course, there will be people who doubt or who are afraid because they're in their comfort zone, and change takes a long time.
Gaudence Uwimpue is a businesswoman in Kigali but owns land around the park. She says if done well, the move would be mutually beneficial.
I have no issues with them buying my land, but I would wish for the transaction to be done swiftly because there are always problems when it comes to buying, to being bought by the government. Sometimes they undervalue property, but if they do it the right way and find alternatives for the people, I do not have any problem with it.
As a landlocked country, Rwanda has for years largely depended on the mountain gorilla product as a major source of tourism revenue, and conservation efforts have seen the country's earnings double from almost $200 million in 2010 to $400 million in 2016. Much of this revenue was raised from selling permits for tracking gorillas.
That report was by Nasra Bishumba, presented by Crispin Mwakideu.
Now, Abu, I can't wait to tell you this story that has been trending on social media, especially in Kenya. The bees are tracking protesters outside the court's precincts. And it has been, you know, trending. Of course, we heard of one person who's been critically injured by the bees. And so many comments as well are coming in.
I can't remember where I saw that comment. Someone is saying it's better to use the bees than the tear gas canisters.
The tear gas, yeah. Njeri Mark Muritis asked, honestly, where the bees come from? In Nairobi town, next to the Supreme Court? This is very confusing.
Yeah, and Gerishom says, God works in mysterious ways. He just sent bees to the crowd and police outside the Supreme Court.
Okay. Stacey Kerubo says, the mysterious bees at the Supreme Court, does this signify real change in Kenya? Wow.
Mm-hmm. And we have Moses Chacha who says, bees descended on people who don't want progress of institutions in Kenya. Look at how God works.
Well, the story of the bees is still trending, and of course, and so is the Kenyan politics. Keep those comments flowing, and we always read them whenever we can on DW Africa. That's our first page.
And that's all we had time for. Thank you for joining us. I'm Abubakar Jalo.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. Bye for now.